Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Previously.tv Podcast Network.
I hope you're not putting too much pressure on yourself about this play.
Mom, how could I? I mean, working with Roy Randolph is a chance of a lifetime for any actress. And let's face it, that's what I want to be.
I know, I just wish you didn't have your heart set on the lead.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210. Today's episode is Season 4, Episode 27, Divas. And now, here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah Diva Bunting.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Tara and Dave.
Let's talk about this episode. But first, site business. You can buy shirts inspired by this podcast at glarkware.com. We have Don't Be Such a Squeef, The Blaze, A Lot of Parents Read It, and Mad, Bad, and Dangerous to Know. You can also purchase an ad on this podcast at previously.tv/ads. You can buy a personal message for $50 and $100 for a commercial message. Moving on to this episode, let's go. Starting with our D story.
D, wow.
Not D for divas. D for Andrea's sure something's wrong with her stupid pregnancy. So at the fake sorority meeting at the Peach Pit, we learn that Andrea has gotten so big she's wearing Jessie's clothes. They're too broke to buy her real maternity clothes, so Kelly offers to lend her Jackie's. And when we next see them, Donna and David and the dog come over to Andrea and Jessie's. There's also a sidebar storyline about Donna and David disagreeing about how to train the dog, which we'll come back to, believe it or not. Donna has also brought over an improbably small bag of maternity clothes from Jackie.
Thank you.
Such a small bag. It's like what you would get from Banana Republic if you bought like a tank top.
A scarf.
It's
yeah,
so
totally.
Small. There's like a dress in it. Anyway, Andrea is delighted by how cute the first thing is that she gets out and puts it on and immediately rips it. She feels bad and says she just has to stop eating, and neither Donna nor David tells her that's a bad idea. Can't really diet when you're pregnant anyway. I mean, you can, but you know what I mean. She just keeps saying, I have to keep eating.
You know what
eating.
You can also do? You cannot eat half a French fry, get depressed about how you're fat, and put it back on the plate that everyone is sharing. Yeah. Andrea.
Yeah. I mean, anyway, whatever. Andrea then goes to get an ultrasound and finds out everything's fine. Her weight is on the high side of the curve, but not abnormal. Apparently, Jessie has told her that her body chemistry was out of whack. Okay, thanks, counselor.
If you guys are watching along and you, by some chance, haven't watched this episode yet and you're going to see what we're talking about, don't would be my advice. But especially when you get to the scene where they're at the OB, just fast forward, because there's a really genuinely bizarre piece of business with Jessie mopping the
goo
off of Andrea's belly. But it's like, why? I mean, I guess that's like verite, but these actors have never had any chemistry. They certainly don't now. I don't understand why Gabrielle Carteris was asked to bear her pregnant belly.
Yeah.
The whole thing is just really bizarre, and I just stared at it and then threw up, I'm going to say, 400 times. And then I, of course, put a clip of it in the visual aids because everyone else has to suffer.
Yep.
You're welcome.
Andrea knows that Jessie thinks she's crying wolf. He claims he doesn't, but he also makes sure to guilt her about wanting an expensive ultrasound they may not be able to afford because he sucks. Long story short, Andrea is sure something is wrong with the baby. Moving on to our C story, the cons return. Dylan goes to the library to get Erica books about Lincoln's assassination, which is our first reminder that Erica exists since we haven't seen her in weeks. Our second is when Donna at the Peach Pit looks over and sees Suzanne and Erica sitting with some dude who Kelly says she doesn't know. And then we cut to the table where Erica is being a typical child of a single mom, rejecting every overture from the prospective new step-parent, Brattley. And Kevin makes a hilarious face when Erica rejects that you can also see in the visual aids. Erica then comes mooching over to ask about the girls' fake sorority, and they agree to let her pledge. It's stupid. Erica confirms that the dude at the table is Suzanne's new boyfriend. And then Suzanne comes over to Dylan's as he's fixing his motorcycle, though at least they give him a line acknowledging that he never rides it, which is something. He says he was going to call Suzanne about Kevin. Dylan likes him. Suzanne does too, but she wishes Erica were a little less hostile to him. And then the trap is laid in clip two.
Such a shame. He's really a terrific guy. He treats me like a lady. He's got a good job. Did he tell you he's an environmental chemist?
No.
He's such a good soul.
Oh, yes.
Oh, you see?
Sorry. Sarah, are you like shuffling papers or something over there?
Yes, I'm doing a little shuffling. I will stop.
Thank you. All right, sorry. It was bugging the hell out of me.
Okay. environmental chemist stuff was going to come up later. Dylan offers to try to talk to Erica and try and get her to warm up to Kevin, and Suzanne is delighted. Dylan then meets Erica at the Peach Pit. She's already figured out that she's been summoned because he wants to appeal to her on Kevin's behalf. Erica's reason for not liking Kevin is that he reminds her of John Wilkes Booth's getaway driver, clip number three.
He was good looking. But he had a mind of a 10-year-old.
Kind of like you, except for the good looking part. Get a haircut.
Also, Kevin's not good looking. He looks like Geraldo Rivera. You can see that in the visual aids.
Yes, God.
Erica doesn't want Suzanne to date Kevin because he lives in Orange County. And if he and Suzanne got married, Erica would never see Dylan. And Dylan says this.
Isn't Orange County... What?
What? It's
like Orange County is like right there, isn't it?
It's pretty far. It's like an hour drive. It's not that close, which, I mean, just leads to the next question, which is how did Suzanne even marry this goon? But that never comes up.
Well, and it's not Orange County, New York. Everybody settle down. It's an hour.
Right. I mean, we don't even know if Suzanne has a car, though. Like, she took that money from Dylan, but we don't know what she spent it on. Anyway, whatever. Erica's worried that if they move to Orange County, she'll never see Dylan again. And he says, clip number four.
Hey, that's not going to happen.
She's not going to get married?
Well, they just met, but nothing's going to split us up. Wherever you go, we're always going to be close, all right? I'm not going to lose the only little sister I've got.
Yeah, I guess I just need to hear that.
Then do me a favor, will you? Cut Kevin some slack?
She will regret that later, but anyway.
Mm-hmm. Paging Jonesy.
So Suzanne and Kevin later thank Dylan for talking Erica down, and then the trap is laid some more as Kevin and Dylan bond over surfing, and Kevin blahs about some device he made to surf blah, who cares. A distracted Kevin is pontificating as he's walking out to the car, and steps into the street and almost gets flattened by a bus. I made a gif. Except Dylan pulls him out of harm's way, and they have this exchange in clip number five.
I don't know what I would have done if I'd have lost you, what I'd have told Suzanne or Eric.
I'll tell you this. You just made a pal for life.
Ooh, just what Dylan needs. This guy is a pal.
Better you than I.
Whatever. Moving on to our B story. Get a grip, Claire. Brandon is pretending to study at the Peach Pit when Claire rolls in, and guess who's Brandon with her hands over his eyes? He doesn't recognize her voice, because why would he? He's then all faux hearty so that we know she makes him very uncomfortable. He's so predictable and boring that even the Chancellor's secretary knew that he hangs out at the Peach Pit, which is how Claire knew to find him there. Brandon observes that she seems chipper, and she has a good reason in chip in clip number six.
Well, I had my birthday last week. The big 1-8.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah. Somehow, magically overnight, the words jailbait just kind of vanished from my forehead. Voila.
Nat is standing right there. Don't talk about jailbait. Gross.
She's just so, I mean, and I know we are supposed to think she's a tryhard, but she's such a tryhard. And for Brandon, why?
She's the tryest hardest. He tries to ditch her by saying that he was just leaving, and Claire says that she was too, following him through the kitchen and into the parking lot where she drapes herself all over him as she asks him out. He doesn't think it's a good idea and explains why in clip number seven.
What, are you, like, freaked out or something because of who my father is?
Absolutely.
I knew it. But you like me, don't you?
Of course. I like you a lot. You're very, unusual.
Thanks. I wouldn't want to be like everybody else.
Well, you're certainly not.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Bryn. How's it going?
Dylan, this is Claire Arnold, Chancellor Arnold's daughter.
Oh, yeah. It's nice to meet you, Claire.
Nice to meet you, too.
It's her kissing him.
Bye.
Mmm, it tastes good.
Claire, put it in your pants. Keep it
there. Yeah, really. Gross.
When she's gone, Dylan advises Brandon to stay away from her, and they agree that Claire's not trying to hear that. And then we establish that Cindy and Jim are about to be away for the weekend in a weirdly endearing way in clip number 8.
Honey, I can't find my black bathing suit.
I already packed the plaid one, along with your hooded robe.
I look kind of chunky in the plaid. We're going to be sitting around in a hot spring with 11s. I want to look as svelte as they are.
Honestly, I'm sorry we bid on this vacation with them.
Oh, come on. It's for a good cause. Anyway, 2 days in Palm Desert, away from the grind. Could be very romantic.
I hope you're not saying that just because it's tax deductible.
I like it when they lean into their, like, fuddy-duddiness. Jim saying he's worried about looking chunky is so
And then the hooded
cute.
Robe, which practically is a SAG card. I love that.
Yeah, being chunky is the first step to being a crumb bum, so you really gotta watch that slippery slope.
Yeah, it starts out being a chunk bum and then straight to crumb.
So then Brandon and his giant pants go to see the Chancellor. The Chancellor's gotten this paper... I'll get to it. Okay, clip number 9.
Is something the matter?
No. Well, maybe yes. It seems the Department of Education has done a paper on our task force.
They're actually taking us seriously?
Okay, this paper, because it's in Chancellor Arnold's hand, you can see it in the visual aids, is like the size of a small city's phone book. Like, there's no way the Department of Education, A, did a report on this task force that no one cares about, but B, cranked it out before it's even over and it's this fucking long. Like, that's not how anything works.
This is how people become Republicans, seriously. Like, this waste of tax dollars, people are like, yeah, no.
But that would never happen. That would never happen. Anyway, the Department of Education allegedly are the only fucking ones who are taking the task force seriously. Also, and just to get back to this for a second, what even would be in this report? Like a play-by-play of the fucking tees and the retreat and the square dancing? Like, that's all we've
seen
them do.
I know. Is there like the little like Arthur Murray like dance diagram of the square dance? It like folds out. Maybe that's why it's so fat.
Yes.
Actually, that would be awesome. Can you imagine, like, yeah, I'll analyze this report, and then there's like a fold out and you like for Twister,
like 4 pages from the Condor about everyone having a good time in there. Anyway, the Chancellor says he hasn't read the paper, which he's a Nobel Prize winner. I doubt it. But of course, the actual task force is not the point of any task force scene, as we are reminded as a side door slides open and Claire, in her serious person drag with a man's necktie on, puts on her babyest voice to remind the Chancellor that they have an appointment at the museum. And when she's gone, the serious conversation continues in clip number 10.
It's important for us to know how we're perceived. I want you to digest that report and give me a critique. Quickly.
No problem. I've got my house to myself for the next couple days, so I'll get right on it.
I was hoping you'd say that.
Yeah, who better to do this than the freshman? Like, this is a task force with presumably faculty on it. Like, maybe someone who actually knows what they're doing should be digesting this 700-page report.
Maybe he already asked all of them, and they were like, fuck off.
Give it to the squad.
There's, like, train set instructions in there. The Department of Education is full of shit. We're not reading that. Fuck off.
And of course, Claire hears the end of this about Brandon having the house to himself this weekend and makes sure Brandon knows that she did by giving him a kissy face accompanied by this music in clip 11. This keyboard.
I mean, first of all, cut. Second of all, welcome to beautiful Mount Airy Lodge. Please check out our cafe, open 24 hours. Try a beautiful Mount Airy burger.
The other hilarious thing about Claire's like flirting technique is that she makes the kissy face and then she like disappears backwards back behind the door of like whatever ante room she's in. just very comical. It makes her look like a cartoon villain. I made a GIF. You can see in the visual aids at previously.tv. Anyway, oh no, Brandon's honor is in jeopardy, as we soon see is really true when Brandon opens the door at his house to Claire, who's got luggage, which she drops on his foot while explaining to him why she's there in clip number 12.
I didn't want you to be all alone.
Well, thanks, but you can't stay here.
Well, I have nowhere else to go. I mean, my father's out of town, and he thinks I'm staying over to friends, so...
So why aren't you there?
Well, what's the rush?
God, what do you have in this bag?
Everything I'm into.
Casio?
Sex, rock... Really decent literature.
It's one of the worst lines of the show.
We already have a Dylan. Get out.
It's so embarrassing. Also, sex is in your bag. Explain that one.
Yeah.
God.
Actually, don't. Because her idea of like BDSM attire is like...
Oh, no. Well, we'll get to that. We'll get to
really
it.
Really weird.
Don't spoil it. And also Brandon is into finishing the report for the chancellor, which he says will take all night. Claire doesn't care. He can work. She won't bug him. Brandon keeps telling her this isn't going to work. And then she tries to make the failure of her cockamamie plan his fault in clip 13.
Fine. Why don't you just like throw me out on the street? Okay. I'll hitch down to the beach. Probably get in some rotted out muscle car with a bunch of deviants, but hey, whatever, you know, it's good.
Oh, that's not going to happen because I'm driving you over to your friends.
Well, they're not going to be back until after 10. They went to a movie. Call if you want, okay? Am I repulsive or something?
No, not at all. It's just I kind of feel I owe it to your father to keep a little distance here.
Brandon, it's not like I'm under surveillance, you know.
Okay. You can stay down here by yourself till you get bored. But if 10 o'clock rolls around before that, you are going to your friend's house, okay?
Okay.
Also in that clip, if you could hear her like futzing around, it's because half her overnight bag is filled up with a boom box when she gets out. Like, good lord.
And then plugs headphones into it?
Well, okay. Yes. Okay, backing up for a second, I have to give both of these actors credit because there are moments where you can tell that like she's breaking through and he does kind of like her and is into her and is intrigued by her, and like they both play it well because then they snap right back out of it with her being a complete nerd. as in this moment when, after she plugs the headphones in, she proceeds to start dancing to the music that he cannot hear. It is even more embarrassing, if you can imagine it, than the really decent literature line. And if you don't believe me, you can see the two GIFs I made in the visual aids. I took time out of my life, the only life I'm going to have, to do that. So please go and look at them. They are horrifying. Then, Steve.
It's really... Also, she's 18.
Yeah.
Call her a cab and put her in it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand why those threats of like, what if I get into trouble? Like, well, you're 18.
Right.
Tough shit.
Yeah. I'm not babysitting you. You're not my responsibility. Like, no one's going to blame me. Anyway, Steve and Brandon are in the middle of a boring phone conversation when clip 14.
Fighting to finish my work here. It's been a little distracting. What was that? Did you just giggle?
No. I don't giggle. I belch, but I definitely don't giggle.
Claire, will you get off the phone?
The distraction I was mentioning.
Claire?
Is she cute?
Dangerously cute. I can't get my mind off her. She's got the body of a centerfold and the personality of a volcano.
Well, give her what she wants, pal.
She's the Chancellor's daughter, Steve. All I want is for her to get... I gotta go.
Okay. Now, first of all, I don't giggle is funny.
Yeah.
Like, it's... He does a nice job with that line. But the reason that Brandon has to hang up is because, oh God, Claire comes to his bedroom door in lace-up ankle boots and a teddy and a newsboy cap. and her red, like, gym bag over her shoulder. It's like the unsexiest collection of things that ever were. There is a GIF. You have to see it because you cannot imagine from my description how cringingly embarrassing it is to see an attractive person do this to herself. It's brutal.
Oh, it's brutal. And the teddy is like from the Scarlett O'Hara collection.
Oh, yeah.
It's super weird.
Yeah. With like bows for no reason in places. Anyway, oh, she announces that
Kathleen Robertson, where's your parade? How did you survive this?
God, she announces that her cover story friend is staying with a friend of her own, so Claire has nowhere to go. And then Brenda comes home from She's House Sitting, which we'll get to. Brandon is already so sketchy, not telling her to get dressed and introducing her to Brenda. Obviously, he has some idea that he might try and start something up with Claire if he's like being dodgy like this. But anyway, he hustles Brenda out to go and feed the cats. And when he goes back upstairs to his bedroom, Claire has cuffed herself to the sconce over his bed and hidden the key somewhere on her person. And she challenges him to find it, but he grabs a blanket and leaves her there in the dark, which is also kind of funny. And she's like, bye, click. The next morning, Claire comes down in her school uniform. She called a cab to take her to school. Also, she has problems. Clip 15.
You didn't happen to molest me while I was sleeping, did you?
No, I didn't.
I guess it was a dream.
Gross.
Ew.
Gross.
Not appropriate.
Not appropriate, and very not appropriate is Brandon's like amused, indulgent response, like, oh, the idea that I might have molested you. Well, I didn't, but I could have. You can see in the visual aids. It's gross.
Yeah, phrasing.
He says he's normally a Boy Scout, but basically he's not going to fuck her because of who her dad is. And they have this exchange in clip 16.
I gotta go. We'll do it again.
No, we won't. I'm afraid this is it.
Oh, yeah? Or what? You'll tell my father?
Goodbye.
Tell him. He'll never believe you.
Why are you doing this, Claire?
Because I like you.
They kiss. And afterwards, he does seem like he is intrigued by her and also flummoxed and confused. And the idea of like, well, I'll tell your dad, he'll never believe you, is established here, and get used to it because it's going to come up a lot over the next several episodes. So lucky all of us.
And as it turns out, I think once it all comes down, he's like, oh, yeah, you're not the first. I don't actually remember how this plays out. So
I think he seems like he doesn't believe Brandon, and then Brandon thinks he's getting like jammed out of the who cares task force business. Moving on.
Yeah.
To the A plot, cat fight on a hot tin roof. Thank you so much. So Brenda has lightened and shortened her hair to walk through the library in an improbable neutral colored tiny floral dress, and even more improbably go to the microfilm to look at old articles about a certain Roy Randolph, who has her same current haircut, by the way. It's important to note that we see a headline with his full name, because in the next few episodes, it's going to sound like Shannon Doherty is pretty sure his name is Rory Randolph because of her mush mouth. But anyway, it's not. It's Roy. He's a theater director, and Brenda is stalking him. And our final headline is that he's CU's new artist in residence, and a poster in the library promotes open auditions for Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. It's hard to remember because Brenda's been in one play in the four seasons we've known her, including zero in high school, but she wants to be an actor, so this is happening again. Brenda runs into Dylan and his dumb coxcomb on the way out of the library and exposits that she's getting ready to audition. Got it. Of course, Iris took Dylan to see Roy Randolph's Broadway production of Streetcar when he was 10, because that's appropriate also since we're on the subject. Brenda is hoping to be the next young talent that Roy discovers. And later we get the first inkling of how annoying Brenda is going to be in this storyline in clip 17.
Brenda, would you come put away these pots?
Oh, certainly, Mama. Although I was born for more than the kitchen work.
Weren't we all?
How's my southern drawl?
Drawl!
And given that you're from Texas, it ain't great.
She's from Kentucky, I think, but yeah. Either way, she's from the South, and yeah, work on that. Cindy tries to make Brenda temper her hopes about getting into the play, suggesting that she try out for a smaller part. Brenda sarcastically thanks her for the encouragement. Cindy is sorry. She just didn't want Brenda disappointed. And why they're acting like Brenda just got out of a nervous hospital, I'm sure I don't know. But Brenda is confident in clip 18.
I am Maggie the cat. A woman scorned by the man that she loves. I understand the character completely.
Uh-huh. Brenda will be house sitting for the Levins that Jim and Cindy are going on this vacation with across the street. And Kelly's coming over to help Brenda get ready for her audition. Cindy is pleased that Brenda and Kelly are getting along. Oh, good. That means it won't last. So meanwhile, Brandon is just wrapping up studying with Steve when Steve at the dorm when Steve hears a doings a transpiring in clip 19.
What are you doing here?
I heard somebody screaming. I thought someone was in trouble. Obviously, I was wrong.
Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I was a little loud. I was just acting. I'm getting myself ready to try out for this play.
Well, I'd say if there's any screaming, you'll do fine. See ya.
Wait, please. You just startled me. I shouldn't have snapped at you. You were just being concerned.
Yeah, I thought so. Bye.
Steve.
Uh-oh. No, Laura, don't call him back. Also, Laura's door has Harlequin masks on the outside that are like porcelain.
Oh, of course it does.
Which is not practical for crazy. A door. Like, every time you open and close it, they're just going to clatter. You're going to break them that way. Also, they're so 90s/80s. Of course, she has
Yeah.
Anyway, here's where the way their storyline was portrayed during Take Back the Night Week Fortnite gets even more problematic in retrospect in clip 20.
I've seen you around campus, but I must admit I tried pretty hard to avoid you.
Yeah, well, for whatever it's worth, I still don't feel right about what you went through.
Yeah, well, it's been a pretty miserable, lonely year for me. I guess that's why I'm working so hard on this play, you know. I'm hoping maybe it'll turn things around.
Yes, the sanity of the theater.
Also, what actually happened? What happened? Do you want to be friends with him again? If so, did he rape you or did he not? Anyway, you'll never guess who has played Maggie the Cat. Samantha Sanders. Laura is reading for that part. Steve has seen the play a million times. Laura further kisses up to Steve by saying that Samantha is very talented, and Steve seems legitimately touched as he says he'll tell her, like he always is when someone says something nice about his mom, which is cute.
That is a cute consistency.
It is. But then there's more in clip 21.
You know, the last time that we spoke was after that crazy week. You offered to still be my friend, but I couldn't handle it then. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
You know, I don't know how this is going to sound, Laura, but if you'd like a hand with your audition material, I guess I'd be happy to help you out.
Would you?
Yeah. I figure I owe you one.
Well, that I could definitely handle. Thanks.
Goodbye.
But it's gonna get crazy.
I owe you one for that time I maybe and maybe not sexually assaulted you. Okay, this seems fair. Then the next day, Brenda literally runs into, guess who? Clip 22.
Oh my God, you're Roy Randolph.
Well, I suppose it's the proper billing, God before Roy. But normally I'm used to my name being above the title.
I didn't spill anything on you, did I?
No, no harm done, but I suggest you try walking without reading.
Well, I was just really trying to understand the play.
Oh, are you studying it for a class? Are you reading for me tomorrow?
For you. The part of Maggie.
Really? Well, I like her fetching, love-starved, and dangerous. Is there any hints I'll give you?
You know, I have to tell you, I'm a tremendous fan of yours. In fact, when I found out you were going to be our artist in residence, I went to the library and studied all about you.
Well, it's nice meeting you.
Brenda. Brenda Walsh.
Till tomorrow.
Yeah, no more walking and reading.
That's right. Nothing should inhibit the moves of
for dangerous woman.
I remember that.
She walks off swinging her hips. He watches her go.
Bravo.
What a tasty crumpet.
Or it would be if she didn't weigh like 98 pounds at this point. He's like, what ass are you looking at?
He's going to be so confused when he looks at the list of auditioners and is like, where's Brenda Wash?
That lady is all nooks.
There's an 8-pack of the creepy faces that Roy makes during the scene in the visual aids. So look out for that.
This actor, Jason Carter, is pretty terrible, but he's also having the time of his life.
He's
one of those,
yes.
If I can't act well, I'll act more, and I'm into it, especially since they put him in this lady's 3/4 sleeve turtleneck with a curtain vest over it? Why?
Yeah, it's not good. Speaking of not good, Steve and his jorts try to drop the info casually, but Brandon can't believe Steve is helping Laura with her audition, given everything. Steve promises he is capable of having a relationship with a girl that doesn't get sexual, and Brandon tells him to be careful. Don't worry, he won't. And at the Levins, Brenda and Kelly are running lines pretentiously in clip 23. I had
to. He doesn't have a name. He doesn't exist, does he, Maggie? He does. You can't conceive by a man who won't sleep with you. Oh, he exists, all right. And so does my child, Brick's baby. That's great. You've really got her. Better? Yeah. I mean, this is my chance to be in a great play, in a great part with a great director. I don't want to blow it.
You won't. You're going to be very well rehearsed.
Well, I had help. You know, I have to say, you read the May part incredibly.
It was fun. I guess I can play frumpy people.
It's called playing against type. You should try out.
No, that's silly. I don't have the theater experience that you do.
Which is what Lavoine once said at the Fallout Club and ruining Pablo's play with her comedy. That's the total of her theater experience.
And you've really got her? Based on what? You're not an English major, and that shiesty accent is no bueno.
Oh, no. And maybe
no bueno.
If Brenda were actually taking theater classes, maybe they would have taught her to enunciate. He exists. Anyway, Brenda urges Kelly not to be scared to audition for May since it's a small part. Kelly dithers for way too long, and also we're supposed to believe she gives a shit about meeting some theater director. Moving on.
She was super psyched about meeting the chancellor.
Oh, that's true. She also is wearing a weird, matching crop top skirt situation, which you can see in the visual aids. I can tell you it's there. I cannot tell you.
In the hot tub? Just put on a bathing suit.
Well, they're just sitting at the sides of it, kicking their legs around. But yeah, it's a very un-Kelly outfit. It's much more of a Donna look, in fact.
Yeah.
Anyway, that night in her dorm room, Laura acts at Steve. She's all over him so much that Steve gets uncomfortable when he stops her from doing the scene. He's complimentary of her performance, and she's definitely better than Brenda / Shannon Doherty. And then Brenda is waiting with all the other hopefuls to go in for her audition, and across the room she sees Steve sitting with Laura and waves to him. He mouths good luck to her, which is sweet. Laura looks up and gives
her... Laura tries to light her on fire
with her
eyes.
With her crazy eyes.
Laura.
She smiles for a microsecond. It's actually very good acting from Tracy Middendorf. She also is having the time of her life in this part. Rory comes out to address the troops pretentiously. Sorry, I called him Rory. Roy. And his vest. He's in the middle of promising no drama, unlikely, when Kelly comes in late. She and Brenda waste no time getting catty in clip 24.
Do you see that girl that Steve's with? Isn't that, my God, it is. That's Laura Kingman. Well, they certainly seem to have patched things up.
Well, she's definitely bent enough to be a Maggie.
Huh. Nice. Nice, guys.
It's called acting. Also, didn't you believe her?
Yeah.
Also, shut up.
Really not doing a good job sticking up for the sisterhood, ladies. Kelly thinks everyone else looks more theatrical than she does, but Brenda says she'll be fine.
Love that line.
Kelly also thinks Rory is cute, and that's not all. Brenda adds, 25.
And you know, he has a thing for his actresses.
Actresses!
Actresses! Actresses!
There's a C in that word. You should know how to pronounce it, Shannon Doherty. You are one.
You are a C. We're gross.
Oh, boy. And get well soon, Shannon Doherty, fighting cancer. And then some poor Phoebe is auditioning badly while other auditioners watch, which never happens in anything I ever auditioned for. We get an important plank of the Roy platform in clip 26.
Couldn't I just have a second chance?
It's my experience that second chances are never as good as the first.
Oh, foreshadowing.
Okay.
Brenda is called next, not by number, so why bother with all the numbering stuff? Eddie, the stereotypical stage manager, asks her name, but Roy says it for her, and then she is acting at us in clip 27.
Oh, God.
Rick, I'm not trying to whitewash my behavior.
Freak.
I'm no good.
True.
I don't know why people try and pretend to be good. Nobody is good. But I'm honest. Give me credit for that, will you please? Born poor, raised poor.
She's got the fire, Eddie, and the desperation.
She's all right. Sometimes I think you agreed to this gig just so you could get close to all these 18-year-old actresses.
Skipper is dead. I'm alive. Maggie the cat is alive. I'm alive!
In one monologue, her accent travels like the entire Southeast. Like, it's so bad.
Seriously. And I think that it might have zinged, like, bounced off Quebec at some point. Like, wow.
Oh, it's so bad. It's, I mean, the like accent the is one thing, but
International like, Space Station flies over, you're like, oh, there it is.
Oh. Also, her performance, accent aside, is not good. And in the crowd, Laura preens as she watches, probably because she knows she's better. And then Steve is calling Brandon later that night to brag about how great Laura's audition was, which, could we have seen it? Okay, no, thanks. Steve also takes credit for coaching her so well. And then auditions are taking for fucking ever, so Kelly decides she's over it and gets up to leave. But Roy sees her leaving and tells Eddie to cover for him as he goes after her in clip 28.
Yeah. Where are you going?
Home.
But you've waited so long. You're not going to try out?
No. I really have no business being here. And actually, I was just doing this as a favor to a friend.
I see. Well, maybe what you say is true, but I've waited all day to hear you read.
You're teasing me.
A little. But I'm not going to let you go. No one ever walks out of my auditions.
I hardly have any acting experience.
Well, maybe that's what I was responding to, that certain freshness and fear.
Oh.
Got the fear thing, right?
Crazy.
The closer I was to auditioning, the more I was scared to death. Look, I'm sure you have to get back inside, but it was nice to meet you.
Hold on. I really want to see you on stage. Humor me?
I really think you're going to be disappointed.
Well, let me be the judge of that.
I see the smooth-talking gigolo convention got out early. It's like every line. Even Kelly, like, I like that they let her have the weariness of, like, really? Like, even though she's a teenager, she's like, this guy is so full of shit. However, she does stay. So back to the puppy thing. Donna is terrible at puppy training, and the newspaper everywhere on the floor in the apartment did not keep Rocky II from shitting on the kitchen floor. David wants to rub his nose in it, but Donna won't let him and says that in her house, they just put more paper down. Two bad solutions. How about try walking your dog, you fucking nitwits? Anyway, Donna suggests that he will learn at his own speed, which, by the way, is also not how it works. Anyway, Brenda calls Kelly to see how her audition went. Kelly calls it an interesting experience. The callback list is going up later that day, but Kelly declines to go and check it with Brenda. And when she hangs up, Donna has a question, clip 29.
Did you tell Brenda you read for the lead?
I don't know. Did I? You were sitting 4 feet away. Like, I know there's the like the TV sound bubble, but honest to God, she's like in the same room, so close.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Like, yeah, no. Whatever. Exactly.
Kelly says that Roy only had a read for Maggie because he felt sorry for how long he made her wait. And then they can't get into it because Kelly steps in dog poo. Wah, wah. And then
God, stuff.
Brenda and her ornamental suspenders are making their way to the callback list where some extras are really making a meal of their peas and carrots in clip 30. I can't believe it.
Wow.
I hope that girl, every time this episode comes up in syndication, is like, that's me. Because she really made sure to put her mark on this scene. Anyway, Brenda doesn't make it to the list before Laura congratulates her because they both made the callback list, and they have this exchange in our final clip.
It's down to 5 for the lead. You, me, and Kelly Taylor made the cut.
Kelly Taylor?
Mm-hmm.
That's impossible. For Maggie the Cat, are you sure?
Yeah, positive. Why, didn't you know she was going for it?
She told me she was reading for May.
Well, this guy in the lighting crew said that she's a natural Maggie. He heard that she's the front runner. Of course, I'm sure it didn't hurt that she went out with Mr. Randolph for cappuccino afterwards.
What? You know that either?
Yeah, well, with friends like that, who needs enemies? Good luck.
I am confused.
Yes.
So this director guy is hitting on, you know, the girls.
Sure.
And but he's obviously super gay because he's enjoying cappuccino.
I was just going to say that. Well, we're all on the same page with that one. Obviously, Kelly is also gay, and she and Roy Randolph are gay for each other. I also love the closing music because it's so the deliberate stranger sound cue from Extra Hot Crate. So I guess that means Brenda is about to murder Kelly, and I think we're all just surprised it took this long. End of episode. Let us wrap it up with our MVP. Going to give it to Eddie, the person who said Brenda's performance was just okay. In fact, that's a little
generous.
I'm going
to give it to Crazy Laura, who showed us how to do Crazy and Maggie.
Indeed. Yes. David is the least valuable player for wanting to rub a puppy's nose in some poop.
Yeah, everybody knows that doesn't work. Everybody knew that back then. Come on. Andrea.
She's got to stop eating, Sarah. All right, let's do the Moo Moo Parker challenge. 5 ways from this episode, Brandon might have ended up dead. Well, he could have run afoul of Claire, and she could have cuffed him to something and then kicked the shit out of him till he died.
Boombox fell on his head.
Crushed by her overnight bag because he's wee, in case we haven't mentioned that lately.
Handcuffed in a way that gave him a stroke.
Crushed by the Department of Education's improbable task force.
Yes! There it is.
And that's 5.
Why should I take a back seat? Because I'm a girl?
You shouldn't. It's time for our excerpt from the I Hate Brenda book, Shannon Doherty Exposed. Oh my God, you guys, we have so few pages left to go. We only have like 10 pages left. No, 14. All right, here's another letter to the editor. Hey, please send me your newsletter or enroll me in your organization so I can express my hate for that ugly, snobby, stuck-up, selfish, no-talent, ignorant, conceited, self-centered, egotistical, big-headed, uncooperative, annoying, thick-skulled, lame-brained, self-important, cocky, arrogant, stubborn, pig-headed, nasty, dull-witted, narrow-minded, air-headed, ditzy, pompous-assed, worthless, no good, sniveling, bone-headed, dog-faced, stupid-ass bitch. Thanks! Sincerely, J.H., Millersburg, Pennsylvania.
Yeah! That was very theatrical, Tara. Thank you. Next time on Again With This, Kelly catfights with Brenda over the theater and scraps with Dylan over the intrusiveness of Kevin and his Pinko Water Widget Company. But at least she's not at her second disastrous prom in a row. Dare we say poor Brandon? You'll definitely say poor you when you peep our visual aids, which you can find for this and every other Again With This episode on our website at previously.tv. You can find us on Twitter at previously.tv. I'm Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Twitter at Tomato Nation. My Tony-winning co-host, Tara Ariano, is on Twitter at Tara Ariano, and you'll find the extremely theatrical David T. Cole on Instagram at Glark.
True!
Talk to you next time.
Bye.
Hi, you know what to do after the beeparoonie.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv podcast network.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.